Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back in making his 18th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is AT&T Sportsnet host and TNT Hall of Famer Paul Alexander. Pittsburgh sports fans can hear and see Paul hosting pre- and post-game shows for the Pirates and the Penguins on AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh. Also covers the Steelers as well. He's been a fantastic contributor to the show over the years and a guy we always look forward to getting to spend time with, because not only does he do a tremendous job, you know, sharing his insights and stories with us, but he is one of the great people that you get to meet in this life, and we're very thankful for him and glad to have him back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Paul, Chris, and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Paul.
Gentlemen, what a pleasure. Thank you.
So, Paul, we're going to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the draft, and I got to get your 2 cents on you know, who the Steelers picked. I was a little surprised when Roger Goodell read the name of Terrell Edmunds, safety from Virginia Tech, in the first round. Your thoughts on him?
You know what I love about the Steelers on draft day is they ignore needs, they ignore kind of the obvious, and they take the best players available. And what I've learned to do, and, you know, we're all hypercritical on draft day, and I think that we forget that when most great college players are having their day on a Saturday, they're on the field with maybe 4 to 5 at most other NFL players. So how they're going to assimilate and adjust to a bunch of NFL players, you know, that are on the field that same day, we kind of get lost in the fact that a lot of these guys that are drafted pretty high up really don't pan out. A lot of free agents and a lot of undrafted, you know, rookies end up being superstars. And, you know, we have Tom Brady and Antonio Brown, the 6th round draft picks, you know, right now, you know, the best at their positions in the league or whatever. I try not to get too worked up on draft day, because it's really a 2 or 3 year, and, you know, we're talking about a safety right here, right, from Virginia Tech and Terrell Edmunds. The last time the Steelers took a safety in the first round, they had in the draft Troy. He had a really shaky rookie year, and I was hosting, you know, a call-in talk show at the time, and all I got was, what a bust. You know, what are these guys thinking? Why would they draft him in the first round? Why would they move up in the draft to get him? And I think, hopefully, I don't want to assume or speak for you, but Troy Polamalu was a first ballot NFL Hall of Famer, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but it took about 3 years before Steeler fans appreciated the fact that, you know, the hierarchy within that Steelers front office knew exactly what they were doing. I'm going to have to reserve judgment. It was kind of a curious pick, but this guy, you watch him ball hawk, you watch his anticipation, you watch his overall understanding of the game. I like the pick because the Steelers really, I think offensively, are still going to be among the top 4 or 5 offenses in the NFL because of their personnel, the O-line, the talent that they have. They were a little porous. I mean, they scored a whole bunch of points, you know, against Jacksonville and still managed to lose the game. So anything that they did defensively to improve, I'm okay with.
So I'm guessing the other safety that they drafted in the 5th round was a guy you also are pretty happy about, Marcus Allen from your alma mater, Penn State.
Oh, why, you know, you're going to expose me for being a, you know, a big Penn State guy? Yeah. You know, he also could play corner. This guy, I think, was a steal in the 5th round. And yeah, I'm kind of going to be a little homerish. And yeah, I'm a big fan. I thought that was a great pick. And when you have position flexibility and you can play a little corner, you know, obviously you protect as a safety. You know, this guy's an athlete. This guy's a playmaker. So yeah, I think that's fantastic. And now think about the majority. I mean, third and, you know, this is crazy about the NFL right now. It's most third and ones. I mean, you see empty backfields and five wide receivers. Third and one. So you better have as many capable, talented, competent defensive backs as you can have if you want to compete in today's NFL. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the fifth round pick. Also, and I know we're going to get to Rudolph Mason, right? We're going to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that pick.
Yes.
I have not understood one single since they had Ben Roethlisberger. I have not one single. Why would you waste a single draft pick on a quarterback when you have Ben Roethlisberger? Especially when you had Charles Batch from the days. I mean, they were just so solid at that position. And, you know, people go, oh, yeah, Charlie Batch, yeah. That's when they needed that. Went to Baltimore when Ben was hurt and beat Baltimore at Baltimore when Baltimore was, you know, like really, really good. So, yeah, they recovered there. But here's what they've done. And I'm kind of mixed about Ben. I love him as a player. Anything he does or says, not playing, I'm not a fan. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When he's on the field playing, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. He's a winner, a competitor, a playmaker. I mean, he's everything you could absolutely dream of as a quarterback. Anytime, any single time he opens his mouth when he's not playing, I'm really not a fan. So, you know what they did with Mason Rudolph? You know, this whole nonsense of, you know, I'm going to go year to year. I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm going to do. He was holding the Steelers hostage. Because that next, you know, he has another, you know, he has this year and one more year at about $19 million. That's a nice chunk. And I thought he was content, you know, playing out that thing. Now that they drafted Mason Rudolph, what'd he say? I want to play another 3 to 5 years. But, you know, last year he said, I'm going to go year to year. So he was trying to really, I think, set himself up for that next big, huge contract. I think he's had his last, you know, really big contract. He's under contract for 2 more years, this year and one more. And you see the situation now, and I love, and Bob, you probably know this far better than I do, considering your geographic situation. I really think that, you know, Belichick and Brady got themselves into a weird scenario where Garofalo was the guy that Belichick really wanted to be the next one. You know, I'm going to go to maybe a Joe Montana situation where they had the next guy and they had to move on. And for whatever reason, Bob Kraft stepped in and said, no, we're not moving past Tom Brady just yet. So the Garofalo Belichick thing happened and it's kind of weird. And I really think the Steelers did this, but we're not going to go there. Ben's not going to be the one that decides who our next quarterback is. We are. And Mason Rudolph, in their estimation, and mine as well, was a first-round talent. They got in the third round. So I really think for the first time since Ben's been there, they identified who they believe is their next franchise quarterback. And I hope it's not for another, you know, I hope he's not until like 3 years from now. I hope Ben has another, you know, 2 strong years where they can be a legitimate AFC Super Bowl contender. And I think Ben gives them that. But at the same time, you don't want your franchise quarterback dictating what you do in the draft, what you do, period. They're the players. You have to be the ones that are in control. And I think with Mason Rudolph now, the Steelers are in control. Ben doesn't dictate what happens going forward.
Bob, questions for Paul?
I think, Paul, that's all great points. And that's exactly what I wanted to bring up was the whole Mason Rudolph thing. They're obviously a very, very good successor. But, again, like Brady, you're right. They almost hold the teams hostage. You can't really plan too much, but you have to a little bit. I mean, that's why they made this guy. It's such a win-now league, Paul. In one respect, you say, my goodness, third-round pick, we could get a game-changer now. But, again, with and you know, Paul, as well as I do, one or two hits. Again, his health, I think Roethlisberger is the type of quarterback, what's going to get him out of this league is not his skills eroding at all. It's going to be his health. And that could be, it could be game six. It could be 2 years from now. You just don't know. But this is the price you pay for success, Paul. But that was pretty much what I was going to ask you. Rudolph at third pick, couldn't you get a guy in there now where they would help you win now? But obviously they are thinking they got to start doing something because of either what Ben said during the year or his health in general.
Yeah, and what they don't want, and this is where I think, you know, when the players make, you know, excess of $20 million a year, they kind of become the ones that dictate what happens, not the coaches, not the owners, because of the salary cap and what they dictate. This now takes the control away from Ben, because last year he shocked everybody when he said, you know what, I'm going to go year to year. You know what? Okay. So we are now, and this is the part where they called his bluff. It's like a big poker game. And, you know, Ben showed his hand. Yeah, I'm going to go year to year, so maybe you're going to have to step up and pay me a little more to keep me or whatever. And they went, you know what? Maybe we'll go ahead, considering your age, everything else, you know, the next play for your last. So we're going to go ahead and be prepared just in case. And the picks that I hate at the draft are the fifth and sixth round quarterback picks that are never going to be your next one. Because the one thing that we know, and you know, as a lifelong Pittsburgh guy, you know, the Steelers had gone from 1979 to 2005 without a Super Bowl. Reason being, that period, they didn't have a franchise quarterback. They had some pretty good ones. You know, my grave, you know, loving Bobby Brister, I thought he was really underrated and not well supported, but, you know, maybe not a franchise quarterback. Although, keep in mind, you know, John Elway's first Super Bowl, it was Bobby that won the first six games of that season. And one of my favorite sports quotes of all time, they gave me the keys to the Ferrari and I didn't wreck it. And then John Elway got healthy and he, you know, took him to the Super Bowl. But, you know, the great Bubster was there. But, you know, Cordell, four coordinators in 4 years, and there were some things that just didn't really work. But if you don't have the proper head coach and a franchise quarterback, unless you're the 2001, you know, Baltimore Ravens, you know, that ridiculous defense, and Troy Dilfer is your quarterback, you're not winning a Super Bowl without that combination. So I applaud the Steelers in this draft for, I think, finally identifying someone that could be their next.
Paul, before we let you go, I mean, it's 90 degrees here in New England today, so I got to switch over to baseball for 1 second. I have to ask you about the Pirates. They're over 500 at this point. I didn't think probably they would see 500 all year, but they're holding their own. A few good performances by some guys. You got to be happy with a guy like that, Trevor Williams, and a couple other guys. But what's the word out there right now? What's the feeling, and is the reason to be excited maybe for the future, Paul? Or is that a stupid question?
No, not at all. I think from a public relations standpoint, the Pirates did themselves a horrible disservice. How about when you're the only team in Major League Baseball not to acquire a Major League free agent in the offseason? Who would that be?
True.
That would be your Pittsburgh Pirates. That's embarrassing to me because there's some holes to fill. However, when I see Colin Moran play third base, came over in the, you know, Garrett Cole trade, when I see a Corey Dickerson who was acquired from Tampa Bay, who's basically replacing, you know, the former National League MVP, I get kind of excited because all the death of Huntington is the great Major League general manager without a budget to really be you know, come on. I mean, how difficult is it to win World Series in Detroit, or excuse me, in Boston and then Chicago when you have unlimited spending and there's no salary cap? I mean, I think everybody identifies pretty readily who the great players are. And like the Yankees are now back to being the Yankees. When you go get Giancarlo Stanton and you already have Judge, and you just go put these all-star teams together as your everyday lineup, it really should be pretty easy, you know, to be fantastic. But the thing I love about the Pirates right now is they're exceeding expectations. And it's early. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're thinking about, and I throw this out a lot on the air, you know, if you're a marathon runner and you're lead at the, like, 4-mile mark, I don't think anyone's going to really go ahead and pencil you in as the winner. They've done a nice job. I mean, you can't have a great finish without a good start. I mean, I guess you can if you just go completely, you know, ridiculous toward the end. But I've been pleasantly surprised. I think the pitching is now kind of been exposed a little bit. I actually worked a game where Nick Kingham, you know, threw a perfect game for 6 2/3, and then, you know, was able to throw a one-hit, 7 innings of shutout baseball in his major league debut. That's exciting. They have some talent. They're a little thin because, you know, they don't go out and spend the money that they should, and that's what has fans here in Pittsburgh so upset. I mean, they would really love to feel that their ownership is all in to win. And right now, the fan base doesn't feel that the ownership really cares about winning, as opposed to, you know, cashing the revenue sharing checks and, you know, the big, you know, national TV revenue checks that they get. They feel the ownership here only cares about that and is really all in terms of winning. So that's kind of tough. I mean, that's, you know, you would think if any of the three of us were lucky enough to win, I don't know, 3 or 4 lotteries and able to buy a major league franchise, don't you think we would do everything we could to win a World Series? Like, wouldn't that be the dream?
Yep.
So when
indeed,
you have someone that has someone has the wherewithal to own a major league baseball team, and you don't get the sense that winning is a priority, it's hard. It's hard on a fan base because they all, and again, it's not their money. So, you know, we want to spend, you know, we as sports fans want to spend the ownership's money how we see fit and forget that it's their money. But the Pirates didn't do a very good job in the offseason of convincing the fan base that they were all in to win. And that, to me, is going to be tough to overcome, despite the fact they've exceeded expectations out of the gate.
Paul, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing and follow you either online and on social media as well.
Well, yeah, check us out on AT&T Sportsnet. That's where we do Pirates pre- and post-game. PAlexander44 on Twitter and Paul Alexander on Facebook and Instagram. And I just want to commend you guys for doing such a great job of keeping it real, keeping it positive, and just telling all the great stories out there, all the great former athletes that are just doing such great things with charities and other things. I just love being a part of the great thing that you guys do.
We appreciate you saying that very much, Paul. We're privileged to get to know you and have you as part of the show as often as you've joined us. We can't thank you enough for being generous with your time. Hope you'll do it again real soon, my friend.
Anytime, Chris, Bob. Take care. Love you guys.
Take care.
Take care, Paul. That is the great Paul Alexander, at PAlexander44 on Twitter. Give him a follow. Great stuff as always, Bob. Love having Paul Alexander as often as we have. Great guy.
Hall of Famer. We love him, and that's why he's one of our best.
Indeed.